Something is worth having. It requires struggle, heroic perseverance, and sacrifice. Therefore, we've become addicted to suffering, and this mindset actually increases our struggling. When we believe we need to suffer, we tell the universe it's what we want. Remember the message of chapter one, the universe always delivers. If we believe in suffering, we will suffer. What I'm about to say may startle you. I want you to listen to this next sentence as many times as you need in order for it to sink in. In order to truly live as a super attractor, we must accept that good things can come easily. This is likely the opposite of everything you've ever been taught. This is because most of us have it all backward. For our whole lives, we've held on to fear-based belief systems to feel safe. We believe in thoughts like, I have to work incredibly hard to succeed. I'm too old to have a baby, and I'm terrible at relationships. Can you see how all these thoughts are backed with an energy of resistance? Our resistance to feeling good is what blocks the good that we want to attract. The moment we release that resistance and let ourselves feel good, then everything we truly desire begins to come to us naturally. When we feel good, we attract solutions rather than problems. When we feel good, life flows naturally. I know it's hard to get your head around this. Many students of spiritual practices, including me, believe this concept but have a difficult time applying it. Fear has a strong hold on us. We resist feeling good so much that we expect life to be hard. By way of example, here is how fear presented itself in the early part of my career. In the first decade of building my business, I experienced a lot of joy and faith. But beneath that joy and faith was an ever-present undercurrent of fear. I was scared that if I weren't working my ass off, then my career would all fall apart. This belief system stemmed from childhood. When I was young, I picked up the story that if I don't do it, no one else will. I spent my life believing that I had to strive hard and overwork in order to get what I wanted. My career continued to move forward because the joy and faith were stronger than the fear. But even though I was having fun and achieving success, I always felt as if it had to be hard or it wouldn't continue to work. No matter how inspired I felt or what I accomplished, I always felt as if I was fighting and that there was always more to do. The belief, if I don't do it, no one else will, was blocking my super attractor power. And even though the universe presented me with a lot of opportunity and success, it didn't come without struggle. I knew deep down that there had to be a better way, but for a long time, I wasn't ready to truly access it. It wasn't until 2016 that I hit bottom with my workaholism. My struggling and stress finally took me down. My belief that I had to do it all created a world where I felt very unsupported, fearful, and alone. My body was falling apart, I was barely holding my business together, and my relationships were suffering. Then I hit bottom. Often a bottom is a moment of surrender, and in this case it was for me. In this surrendered state, I said the words out loud, "There has to be a better way." I could no longer resist help from others. And most of all, I couldn't continue to resist support from the universe. Once I hit this bottom, I received a gift. I could finally see how I was terrified of feeling good. I realized that I equated feeling good with losing control. Worst of all, I was afraid of surrendering to the higher power of the universe. I believed that I had to rely on myself and that I had to suffer to succeed. While this belief system was deeply ingrained in my psyche, the universe had begun to present a spiritual solution. The moment I hit my knees and surrendered to the universe, clear direction was presented to me. As soon as I became willing to change my belief that I was unsupported, support came through. It first showed up as intuition. When we realign with the universe, we can receive loving direction as an inner knowing. Sometimes it can come as a hit of inspiration or a download of information. This time, I heard very clear intuitive direction. I was journaling one morning and my hand started to move faster than usual. My handwriting shifted and the words on the page took a different tone. I knew that I was receiving direction from a universal presence. These words came onto the page. Pay attention to the places where you feel supported. Feel the feelings of support and continue to feel them more. I was so moved by this spiritual guidance that I put it into practice right away. I asked myself, Where do I feel supported? Instantly, a thought came into my mind about my event planner, Annette. The only area in my career where I'd ever allowed anyone to support me was in putting together events. For several years, I'd collaborated with Annette to plan my book tours and large-scale events. Annette is a powerhouse who gets the job done. She is so confident and in charge, and her energy takes over in such a way that you have no choice but to surrender to her support. No matter how hard I'd try to control things, Annette would always remind me to get out of the way and trust her. When I was working with Annette, I always had faith that everything was fully taken care of. I felt greatly supported and at ease. I knew Annette had my back. I started to put this feeling of support into action. After journaling and receiving this intuitive hit, I spent several minutes daydreaming about how much I loved Annette and how supported she made me feel. Then I wrote in my journal, "When I'm working with Annette, I feel like everything is happening around me and I'm truly taken care of." Let me tell you, it felt so great to write down these words. This statement affirmed exactly how good I wanted to feel. And it felt so good to feel good. The universal direction I'd received in my journal was exactly what I needed to redirect my energy and put me back into alignment with the support of the universe. I repeated this for months. Everything is happening around me, and I am truly taken care of. I said it while driving, while cooking, before I went to bed, and when I woke up in the morning. It became my mantra. In those moments when I felt the urge to take over anything from a big project to a small task and do everything myself, I turned to this mantra. Not only did I repeat this mantra all day, I also spent my stillness practice meditating on the feeling of what it was like to work with Annette. I'd see myself backstage, feeling totally relaxed, knowing that she was handling everything. I'd envision myself walking onto the stage, seeing everyone happily settled in their seats, and feeling free, knowing that all the important elements and countless little details alike were handled. Over the next few months, I spent hours in meditation feeling this feeling and recreating the experience of being supported by Annette. I put energy, visions, and enthusiasm into this feeling. I reveled in it. I surrendered to feeling good. Within months of starting this practice, I started to notice things dramatically change in my business. Without even realizing it, I'd attracted two new people to help. I was finally letting my husband own his role, and I was delegating my responsibilities left and right. In a few short months, I started to get out of the way and let others in. This was a miracle. Feeling good guided me toward what I truly wanted. I could finally focus on being an empowering spiritual teacher. And more importantly, I could release the fear of not being supported and the belief that I had to do everything myself. The key to feeling good is to decide to stop feeling bad. In order to feel good, you must decide to stop feeling bad. It's as simple and profound as that. There is no other way. For far too long, we've resisted this decision because we've been waiting for our life circumstances to give us a reason to feel good. In fact, many of us don't even realize that feeling bad is a decision we've made. We think things like, "I'll feel good when I get a clean bill of health," or "I'll feel good when I have the money in the bank." When we do this, we're putting the outcome before the feeling. We have it all twisted. We think that we must live in fear in order to get something we want, which will then allow us to feel good. But the truth is that once you feel good, you start to easily attract what you desire. When we make feeling good our priority, everything else can flow. A lot of people get hung up on the limiting belief that they're not worthy of feeling good and having what they want. Struggle becomes a habit and joy is an afterthought. I'm asking you to see things totally differently. If you think you're not worthy of feeling good, then you're out of alignment with the truth of who you are. The loving energy of the universe, the magnificence of God, the serenity of spirit is all within us. There is not a source outside of us that can save us from our sense of unworthiness. When we truly accept that we embody the power of love, then we can start to realign with the belief that we are worthy of feeling good. Feeling good is feeling God. By that, I mean that when we feel good, we remember the God within us. accepting our greatness is the key to being a super attractor. Let these methods help you stand in certainty that you are good and that when you embody this truth, good things flow to you naturally. Feeling good is good for its own sake. I learned this from Deepak Chopra at an event I was co-hosting with him and Eckhart Tolle in 2016. In between my hosting duties, I stood backstage listening to Deepak and Eckhart speak about their spiritual beliefs. At one point, Deepak said that when you're happy for a particular reason, you're still in misery, because that reason can be taken from you tomorrow. His words reminded me that when we focus on what we think we need, we weaken our faith in the universe. Deciding to feel good is easier than you think. The universe has been patiently awaiting your decision to feel good, and this decision is especially needed in your darkest moments. The universe is guiding us even when we resist it. The instant we release our resistance, a flood of support and love rushes in. It's important to accept this. This isn't a fake it till you make it exercise. The universe wants you to feel good and wants to guide you toward exactly what you want and need. Remember, you are one with the universal energy of love, and feeling good is your birthright. Don't just take my word for it. Let me help you see the universe in action. Take any area of your life where you're struggling and want to feel better. Fill in the blank in this sentence. I recognize I'm out of alignment with name a person, situation, belief system, etc. I choose to release the outcome and feel good now. Thank you, universe, for guiding me. This statement is a prayer. You're humbly offering your fear over to the universe, and you are claiming your desire to feel good. We can't wait for our circumstances to change to feel good. The more good-feeling emotions you bring to your current circumstances, the faster things begin to work out the way you want, and the faster you feel better. Think it to feel it method. The Think It to Feel It method lets you borrow a moment of happiness that you're able to identify and apply it to a situation where you're otherwise struggling. To get started, conjure up an area of your life where your desired emotion has shown up. It could be in a situation from your past or even an image you have of your future self. You can also think of someone in your life who displays that characteristic you would like for yourself. Let me give you an example that illustrates this method. For me, one of my big desires and an area where I struggle is to be more relaxed even when things aren't going as planned. I don't have many experiences from my own life where I've been calm in the midst of something going wrong, so it's hard to bring one to mind and call on that feeling from my own memory. But when I think about how I might want to feel, I'm instantly reminded of my friend Elisa. Her attitude is relaxed and calm, even in the most chaotic circumstances. I can envision her saying, "Okay, everything's working out." She can turn to that place of certainty no matter what's happening around her. I love this about her, and I want to embody it for myself. So even though I can't find that quality in myself yet, I know what it looks like and feels like to be around someone who has it. Elisa represents an attitude I can creatively call on as my desired feeling. The most important part of this method is that the circumstances you choose to focus on make you feel good. If thinking about your first boyfriend makes you feel the romance you want to experience in your life today, then think it to feel it. If thinking about a time when you loved your job makes you feel confident and happy, then think it to feel it. It's safe to recall good memories or experiences. It's safe to look to others to reflect back to us what we want. We aren't comparing, but instead finding a good-feeling emotion in a situation where feeling good is difficult for us. We often think that if we had something in the past, we can't have it again. We may be scared to dwell in those good feelings for fear that we'll long for what once was. Similarly, we avoid thinking too much about other people's abundance and happiness. We think that there's not enough to go around, and that another person's success in some way indicates our failure. The opposite is true. All of these experiences mirror to us a part of who we are. They mirror our desire for that feeling. And all manifestation begins with desire. Affirm how you want to feel. Now that you have a clear idea of how you want to feel, you're ready to put it into action in your everyday life. Affirm in your journal how you want to feel. Remember my affirmation, everything is happening around me and I'm truly taken care of. Those words made me feel so good. Your affirmation should make you feel good. Be unapologetic about how you want to feel and affirm it now. Write your affirmation in your journal. Now let's check in with how your affirmation makes you feel. On a scale of 0 to 10, 10 being the best feeling, where does this affirmation fall? If you're under a 7, then I recommend you rewrite your affirmation in a simpler way. You must believe in your affirmation for it to take effect. For instance, if you're struggling with your body image and your affirmation is, "I love everything about my body," there might be a disconnect. Right now, your energy is so focused on disliking or even hating your body that it's tough to reach for body love. Instead, you could affirm something that feels closer to what you believe, something like, "I respect my body," or "I'm willing to start loving my body." The key is to believe in the affirmation even if it hasn't come into form yet. I believed in my affirmation even when it was only Annette who reflected it back to me. The words felt good to me. And that's how I knew I could use the statement to help me proactively co-create a new reality. If you were under a 7 on the 0 to 10 scale, rewrite your affirmation in your journal so that you believe in it and it makes you feel great. Once you've confirmed your affirmation, it's time to start using it. Set it as an alarm on your phone or make it your phone's lock screen. Write it on a sticky note and put it on your computer, fridge, mirror, or car dashboard. Recite it morning, noon, and night. Whenever you notice yourself falling back into negative thoughts, repeat your affirmation a few times in a row to replace the low vibe momentum. This is a powerful action. Your affirmation can slow down the negative momentum in your mind and allow you to quickly align with how you truly want to feel. The Think It to Feel It method, like every other method in this book, is designed to raise your vibration. Commit to your affirmation and take it seriously. Turn to it regularly. If you tend to forget or easily fall back into old patterns, then make sure to follow my tips and reinforce your affirmation with phone alarms, sticky notes, and other visible reminders. Make it a habit, and you will soon see just how powerful it is. Feel the feelings. The next step in assuming the energy of how you want to feel is to relish feeling good. Devote 10 minutes a day to sitting in meditation and allowing yourself to feel the feelings of your affirmation. If you are new to meditation, get excited. This is a practice even complete beginners can do easily. All you need is a quiet, comfortable place to sit. Just be sure you're relaxed and sitting in a straight but natural posture. This meditation practice begins with a journaling exercise, so have your journal by your side. Once you're seated comfortably, open your journal and write your new feel-good affirmation at the top of the page. Then for a few minutes, write about how this desire makes you feel. Write only about the positive aspects of this desire. Direct your writing toward ideas and visions that make you feel good. If any other thought or idea comes to mind, swiftly reach for a better feeling and write it down. Proactively guide yourself to a positive vision of your desire. When you're done writing, take a moment to read over what you put onto the page. Let your words inspire you and ignite good feeling emotions. Now it's time to meditate on these positive feelings. Gently close your eyes and breathe into the high vibe feelings that you've cultivated through this writing exercise. Breathe long and deep. With every inhale, feel more deeply into the positive feeling. Sit as long as you want to, and allow the good feeling emotions to take over your psyche. If you have a negative thought, just gently replace it with your affirmation. If visualizing yourself into your desired feelings seems difficult, you can instead sit for 10 minutes and silently repeat your affirmation. Let your positive affirmation replace any negative thoughts you may have. If you want my support with this contemplative practice, visit GabbyBernstein.com/superattractor and download my guided meditation and suggested music. This meditation is an exercise in assuming the energy of how you want to feel. Remember, the universe responds to your energy. Being a super attractor requires that we align with the energy of what we want to attract. This step is crucial in the process of alignment. When you're happy for no particular reason, you become a magnet for what you desire. When you loosen your grip on the outcome and focus on feeling good, good things come to you naturally. You're no longer relying on getting something or somewhere to feel good. You just feel good and allow. I strongly recommend you make this a daily practice so that you keep the high vibe momentum moving in the direction of what you're ready to receive. Allow the flow of universal guidance. As soon as you start repeating your affirmation and focusing on feeling good, you'll begin to notice the universe supporting you. In an instant, the universe can sweep in and rearrange your perspective. The moment you surrender your fear to the universe, love takes over. Your only job now is to let love come through. Welcome and trust in every single feeling of support and every moment of synchronicity. The more you embrace the wonder of universal guidance, the more it will show up in your life. What you believe, you will perceive. Choose to focus on the guidance, intuition, and direction that comes through. Whenever I affirm good feeling thoughts and emotions, the universe positively redirects my day. I'm given creative possibilities for problems I otherwise could not solve. I receive intuitions about how to handle situations that once overwhelmed me. I feel a sense of peace and faith. Feeling good aligns us with the universe. This alignment offers us health, mental clarity, confidence, and reduces stress and anxiety. When we feel good, we are the opposite of resistant. We are receptive. Make feeling good a practice. In order to feel good consistently, we have to make it a practice. It's likely you're used to waiting for your outside circumstances to dictate how you feel. This whole book is a process of unlearning that habit. I want to help you learn how to access good feeling emotions even when things aren't working out as you planned. Dedicate time each day to consciously focus on feeling good so that in time it becomes your default state. In addition to repeating your affirmations and meditating on good feelings, I suggest you do more things that make you happy. That's right, I'm giving you permission to make having fun your top priority. This doesn't mean you have to quit your job and go live on a beach. Instead, think about all the activities in your daily life that make you happy. Identify the things that bring you joy and do them more often. Make feeling good a priority, the same way you might make exercise or family a priority. If this is totally new to you or you suspect you'll revert to old habits in a few days, I suggest scheduling these activities into your calendar as you would a meeting. This isn't about turning fun into another obligation, it's about making it a priority. If you know you need some structure in order to honor this priority, that's okay. In time, it will become a habit. Remember to be deliberate and bring conscious awareness to feeling good. To be frank, we typically put everything else before feeling good. Most of us don't necessarily think much about this, or we might even think it's virtuous. If you've ever felt a hit of self-righteous satisfaction for being busier and more stressed out than your friends or coworkers, you know this feeling. But here is the truth. When we put everything else before feeling good, we're putting those things before our connection to our super attractor power. Whatever we put before our spiritual connection will suffer greatly. You may achieve what you want, but you will struggle and feel like crap all along the way. This is a whole new way of being. Feeling good must come first. Everything else will follow. You now have several methods for aligning with good feeling emotions. You can call on your affirmation to shift your thoughts. You can sit in your meditation to shift your energy. You can do something that brings you joy to realign with the universe. Use these methods to make feeling good your highest priority. I want to emphasize an important point. You shouldn't be afraid to feel good when things aren't working out. When things don't go our way, our immediate reaction is to dwell in negativity. We can't even imagine feeling good in the midst of something going wrong. But feeling good is the quickest way out of what is wrong. Try it for yourself the next time something doesn't go your way. Do something to feel good fast. Listen to your favorite guided meditation. Call a friend who always makes you laugh. Take a walk outside. Allow yourself to access happiness even in the midst of a difficult time. That joy will be your guide out of the negative experience. It's totally fine to let yourself feel discomfort, but don't be afraid to balance it with joy. The good feeling emotions will realign you with the universe, and the universe will be your guide. Make feeling good a priority, and you will be guided. Give yourself permission to feel good. It's easy to deny yourself good feeling emotions. Maybe my story of overworking resonates with you, and you're sure that success requires struggle. Maybe you think the only way to be safe and secure is to control everything. Maybe you feel defeated by the dating scene, or maybe you simply don't believe that you're worthy of feeling good. I have a lot of compassion for wherever you are at this point. The world we've grown to rely on has taught us to struggle. Every day we're inundated with bad news, reasons to compare ourselves to others, and a pervasive focus on the negative. Many of us have internal sources of struggle as well, such as health conditions and past traumas that can get in the way of feeling good. But now is the time to change that pattern. Loosen your grip on life, let yourself be free in these practices, and don't judge yourself for releasing control. Giving yourself permission to feel good is a perceptual shift. It may take practice and repetition, but when you commit to feeling good, your life will change in miraculous ways. You may have to remind yourself regularly that it's okay to feel good. Even now, as I write this book, I'm in the process of giving myself permission to slow down and take better care of myself, even if it means saying no to personal or business opportunities. My intention is to feel good first before I do anything else. And if that means I have to say no, then I will. This new pattern is uncomfortable for me because I've spent decades overworking and overachieving. But with each day that goes by, I feel more and more comfortable with my new normal. I'm beginning to accept that the less I do, the more I will succeed, because the less I do, the better I feel. And I bring that good feeling to the projects that I do take on. Sometimes I catch myself wanting to revert to old behavior, but it won't take me out of the flow. In those moments, I return to my affirmation. My commitment to feeling good is stronger than the pull of my old patterns. The more time I devote to feeling good, the easier my life becomes. Each day I continue to give myself permission to feel good above all else, and the payoff is miraculous. I feel supported. I have the time and mental space to be creative, and my family and business are thriving. Watch your words and the words of others. It's very important to recognize the power of your words. Simple words can direct you on the right path or lead you down a fear-based spiral that brings you into a state of misalignment. For example, around the time I was writing this book, things had gotten very hectic in my business. We were growing rapidly and desperately needed to hire more people. My team was super on top of everything, but they were feeling overwhelmed. Without realizing it, the company mantra had become, "We have so much going on and we can't keep up with it." This mantra started with me. On every call, I'd worry that everyone was too busy, or we would talk about how much we had to get done. My words started to infiltrate the team. Within weeks, all I kept hearing everyone say was, "I just don't have time to get it all done. I'm so overwhelmed." Then I started to notice how their resistance was making me feel out of alignment with the good vibes I'm used to exuding. It was resulting in low energy, a negative mantra, and low morale. Then one afternoon while working on this chapter, I had a major aha moment. I was at this exact point in the chapter where I'm writing about the vibration of words, and I screamed, "Yikes, I'm not doing this." Within minutes, I scheduled a team call and got everyone on the video conference line. I explained how my urgency and words were bringing them down and gently showed them how they had picked up what I was putting out. I asked us all to change the dialogue about what was happening. I practiced the choose again method in real time and started to reach for good feeling thoughts. I said things like, "We are blessed. We have a message that is spreading rapidly and we're growing fast. This is such an awesome position to be in. I'm confident in our ability to attract additional support. We're doing our passion work and we're fulfilled every day. The universe is expanding time for us when we choose to have fun along the way." Right after this redirect, I noticed the energy of the team shift. Their eyes lit up. They had huge smiles on their faces, and I could sense their relief. We'd chosen the wrong words to describe our circumstances, and we were all ready to choose again. With our new language, we began moving forward with power, enthusiasm, and a super attractor energy. As this story shows, it's important to become conscious of how our words affect other people. When you gossip, complain, judge, or put others down, you weaken your vibrational alignment with the universe. Be conscious of your words, even when you think what you're saying is helpful, because the language you use can be damaging. When you're fine-tuning your super attractor connection, it's also important to protect your own energy from other people's words. For instance, while I was going through my fertility journey, I was very open publicly about my personal experience of trying to conceive. In my book, The Universe Has Your Back, I wrote about how my fertility journey was my greatest teacher in surrender. I knew my openness was helping women who were going through the same thing. I felt empowered by writing and speaking publicly about my experience. Sharing in this way opened the floodgates for many women to tell me their stories. I received emails, texts, and social media messages from women all over the world wanting to share their miracles and their struggles. While I felt very grateful for their outreach, I also noticed myself feeling down. Several women emailed me their stories of hardship and heartache. Over the years of being a spiritual teacher, I've welcomed people's stories and held each one with deep compassion. But this time, it was too close to home. I began to feel my faith dwindle and my positive momentum slow down. I started to worry about some of the stories I was hearing and project them onto myself. I became very conscious of how other people's words were affecting me. So as soon as I noticed that I wasn't feeling good, I decided to pivot. I began to change the way I interpreted this information. When someone shared a negative fertility story with me, I'd immediately help guide them to a better place. Or if I received an email that suggested resistance around fertility, I'd say a prayer for the person and gently remind myself that their story wasn't mine. I did everything I could to protect my good feeling momentum. After several months of gently deflecting the negative stories and choosing to commit to feeling good, something interesting happened. I noticed that I was no longer getting negative messages or comments at all. It was almost as if I was immune to them. My commitment to feeling good sent out a message to the universe that I was no longer a match for negative fertility stories. Not only was I no longer hearing the negative stories, but I was also attracting so many happy stories. Every woman I heard from was coming to me with positive, miraculous stories of fertility. It was amazing to see how my commitment to feeling good made me a super attractor for stories that would support my intention. As you begin the practice of feeling good, you will notice a lot of resistance from the outside world. Don't blame others for their resistance. They're merely reflecting back to you any lingering resistance of your own. Use these moments as opportunities to surrender to feeling good. You can't control what people say or do, but you can control how you choose to perceive it. Practice protecting your good-feeling emotions at all costs. Darkness cannot coexist in your light, so keep shining. In certain settings, you may need to redirect conversations, unfollow people on social media, or even leave the room. Be kind and loving toward others while creating clear boundaries that protect your good-feeling emotions. You can choose how you perceive your world. You are the dreamer of your dream. Don't sabotage the good-feeling flow. Throughout my career, I've met thousands of people who have transformed their lives by adopting a spiritual practice. They share stories about how, as soon as they changed their thoughts and energy, they began to attract what they wanted into their lives. As they shifted their point of attraction, they became super attractors for what they truly desired. However, many of these same people told me that as soon as they started to feel better and began to attract what they wanted, out of nowhere, a fearful voice began to question, "Is this too good to be true?" The voice of fear started to sabotage their good-feeling emotions, their faith and fear took over, and they fell back into the old pattern of negative thoughts and fear-based attracting. I want to call this out now so that you're constantly checking in with yourself. If you apply each method in this book, you will begin to feel miraculous shifts and experience mind-blowing results. This is not an exaggeration. The second you align yourself with good-feeling emotions, your super attractor power begins to set in. But as quickly as your power turns on, fear can show up to block it. So let's call it out now. Your fear is going to do anything it can to sabotage your super attractor mojo. But don't fear your fear. Just be aware of it. When fear tries to take you out of alignment, return to your choose again method from chapter one to stay in the good feeling flow. Here's how you can use the choose again method when you notice fear sabotaging your flow. One, notice the fear. Notice when your fearful thoughts start sabotaging your positive flow and ask yourself, how do I feel right now? Let yourself feel whatever is coming up for you. Two, forgive the thought. Forgive yourself for fearing the good feelings. Say out loud or silently, I forgive this thought and I choose to believe in love instead. Then celebrate your desire to shift back to feeling good. Three, choose again. Answer this question. What is the best feeling thought I can find right now? Then thank the universe for guiding you toward that thought. Use your choose again method to come back fast and say no to self-sabotage. Becoming a super attractor will require that you repeat this new positive behavior regularly. Now is your time to make feeling good a habit. There's more of this waiting for you. In the coming chapters, I'll give you a really powerful method for thinking your way into feeling better. Be satisfied with what is. You may find great relief in these methods and notice immediate changes. There might also be some areas of your life that take a bit longer to shift. That's totally fine. The goal isn't to change everything about your life overnight. The goal is to have fun along the way to what you desire. Abraham Hicks says, "The reason you want every single thing that you want is because you think you will feel really good when you get there. But if you don't feel really good on your way to there, you can't get there. You have to be satisfied with what is while you're reaching for more." Your satisfaction with what is allows you to be happy and peaceful regardless of whether you have exactly what you think you need. So just forget what you think you need and focus on feeling good. Feeling good will bring you far more than whatever you thought you needed. You'll release the need to get something, be somewhere, or have certain circumstances in place to be happy. Happiness will become the outcome you desire most. Commit to the practices in this chapter. They will prepare you for the manifesting to come, because in order to attract all that's good, you must first believe you are worthy of feeling good. The methods you've learned so far will help you welcome worthiness and happiness and prepare you to claim all that you will attract. Enjoy the practice of feeling good. As I've said, this whole idea may be really new to you and your ego is likely to resist it. So that's what we will explore in chapter 3. You spend a lot of time and energy not feeling good and blocking your super attractor power by comparing yourself to others and investing in the illusion of lack. I'm taking on these blocks in the coming chapter. I'll give you my methods for kicking comparison, competition, jealousy, and overachieving. And I'll show you how to call in abundance with mindset shifts that work fast. Chapter 3. There's more than enough to go around. For many years, I've led a training called the Spirit Junkie Masterclass. This training helps spiritual people gain the confidence and business building tools to inspire others by doing what inspires them. It attracts people from all professions and backgrounds. I've met lawyers, yogis, life coaches, therapists, nurses, makeup artists, and more. They come from different places in the world and are at different points in their careers and lives. But they all start the training with one common desire, to make an impact in the world and be abundant doing it. I've trained thousands of people with my methods and I've seen radical transformations. My students begin their Spirit Junkie Masterclass journey revved up, inspired, and excited to step into their power. But I've noticed a number of common fears and forms of resistance at the beginning of the training. Many students don't feel like they're good enough or have enough resources to do the big work they want to do. Many people say they feel unqualified or lack the time, money, or support they deem necessary. Still, others fear their ideas have been taken. They say things like, "She's already doing this, so how can I?" Many students arrive with the mantra, "Who am I to do this?" Masterclass alumni reading this book are likely nodding their heads in recognition. Showing up for your dream takes guts. And it can bring up a lot of fear. This fear mentality shows up in all of us, especially when we're on the precipice of something great. fear of not having enough and fear of not being enough are both major blocks to our super attractor power. Many people suffer from feelings of lack that have been ingrained in them since childhood, or they constantly compare themselves to others and see everything as a competition. I've fallen prey to these thoughts and behaviors, and I'm sure you have too. These types of fears are easy to succumb to. Comparison is an especially difficult emotion to navigate. Most of us know that it's not helpful to compare ourselves to others. But what many of us don't know is that comparison is actually a form of judgment, and judgment weakens our attracting power. It doesn't matter whether we're judging someone because we view them in a negative way or because they have something we may want. It doesn't matter whether we're putting them on a pedestal and admiring what we deem to be their superiority. The fact that we're judging at all means that we're unconsciously telling the universe that we don't want what they have. This might sound completely counterintuitive, but when you're envious of what someone else has, or when you see someone as somehow better than you because of what they have, you lower your energetic vibration. These feelings of comparison and judgment cause us to vibrate at a low frequency, repelling the very thing we want. The fear, lack, and comparison I saw in my Spirit Junkie Masterclass students are things I took very seriously. I recognized these blocks as ones I had struggled with too, and I looked at the ways I had cleared them in my own life. I then adjusted the training to have a strong focus on confidence and alignment with the universe. In order for my students to serve in the big, meaningful ways they desired, they needed to release the beliefs that held them back and kept their vibrations low. I started by helping them understand how their lack and comparison were blocking their super attractor power. Here are the 7 blocks I identified in my students. We all have these blocks, and they show up in sneaky ways. There may be some you identify with immediately, and others that you may be ignoring. This is an opportunity to get honest with yourself. We can't harness our attracting power until we know how we block it. Taking a truthful inventory of the ways we block our super attractor power will bring conscious awareness to how we can return to it. Don't be afraid of these blocks, as they're common, and most of us are unconscious of them. Our awareness is what heals the patterns that hold us back from being super attractors. Block number 1, believing in lack. If you harbor feelings of not being enough or not having enough, you expend a lot of effort trying to prove to the world that you are enough. All that effort blocks the flow of the universe. When we spend our energy trying to prove ourselves to the world, we lose track of feeling good because we're trying so hard to feel good enough. The constant attempts to feel good enough come off as needy energy. This low-level energy repels the things you want. It repels the support of other people. It repels your own creative ideas. And it repels inspiration from the universe. The time and energy you pour into trying to prove your worthiness become part of the reason why you don't receive what you want. All your effort to be seen keeps you living in the shadows, denying the light of who you truly are. The great news is that there's a way out of this lack mentality, a way out of the low-level energy, a way out of the shadows. Block number 2, thinking there's not enough to go around. The idea that there's not enough to go around is a pervasive fear. In this fear state, we struggle to get what we want and take pride in our overachiever behavior. We believe that we have to get as much as we can before someone else takes it. We imagine a zero-sum situation in which there's only so much to go around. This mentality, while it might spur us into action, can just as likely paralyze us. Many people avoid taking action on their desires because they fear the potential for disappointment. When you believe there's a limit to abundance and joy, you may avoid trying altogether. But when we shift from a world of lack to a world of abundance, we can remember that there's more than enough to go around. When you approach the world as a vibrational reality rather than a physical space, that's when your desires become real. When you're able to access the energy of abundance and have faith that the universe always provides, you can begin to feel your desire come into form before it shows up in the physical world. We can't have one foot in the world of lack and one foot in the world of abundance. Our work is all about alignment. When you're aligned with the universe, you know anything is possible, and lack fades away. Every practice in this book will help you tune into the frequency that allows you to recognize all the abundance around you. When you're tuned into the energy of abundance, you become abundant. Block number 3, comparing ourselves to others. A big block to our super attractor power is when we compare ourselves to others. At some point, we are all guilty of this behavior, and it's understandable. All we have to do is open up a social media app for a constant stream of opportunities to compare. Your inner voice of fear likes to use comparison to stop you from claiming what you desire. That fear-based voice wants to keep you safe, playing small, and minimizing perceived risk. But you lose your power to attract when you compare. Your super attractor power comes from how you feel, your faith in love, and your joy. When you're comparing, your focus isn't on how you feel, your faith in love, or the happiness you emanate. Instead, your focus is on what you have or don't have, all that you're lacking, and all that you think you need in order to achieve. If your focus is on the outside, then you'll constantly compare yourself to those who seem to have what you want. Each time you compare your circumstances with another person's, you reinforce feelings of inadequacy. These feelings are so strong that they attract their likeness. Here's an example. Imagine you are the last in your group of friends to be engaged. If you desire a committed relationship, comparing yourself to your engaged friends will leave you feeling terrible. That feeling will not support your attracting power. Rather, it strengthens the momentum behind your fear of being single. Energy goes where your intention flows. So when you're focused on all your friends having what you want, you end up manifesting more of what you don't want. Remember, your super attractor power comes from how you feel, your faith in love, and the joy you put out. Block number 4, the need to win at the expense of having fun. The universe is an all-inclusive stream of abundance, and there's enough for everyone. When we become competitive, we cut off the stream of abundance. The fear of losing or the need to win is really another form of lack, one that implies scarcity. Many people pride themselves on their competitive nature, but it can create resistance. They make their happiness and sense of success dependent on winning. Even when it comes to healthy competition, a shift in perception can be very valuable. While some people may thrive in sports or business because of their competitive nature, I challenge you to consider a new idea. What if you shifted your focus off of the need to win and the fear of losing and onto how much fun the activity brings? The simple shift will put you into a state of joy, which inevitably brings far more success. For the past 6 years, I've been part of an annual competition. The last 2 years found me at the top of the leaderboard with ease and grace. Last year, shortly after the results were in, I got on a call with the woman who came in second. She jokingly said, "Gabby, I love you, but I still can't get over that I'm in second place. I'm very competitive." I said to her, "The reason for my success here is because I wasn't competing. While it's awesome to finish first or win a big prize, it wasn't my primary focus. I can honestly say that the reason I won was because my energy was surrendered, my focus was on having fun, and I didn't care about the outcome. I wasn't some strategic mastermind. I just enjoyed the process." I share this because I want to emphasize that it's safe to have big dreams and not care about the results. In fact, the moment we release the results, we let the support of the universe back us up. We let go and allow. But competing at the expense of having fun is the opposite of letting go. If you need to win in order to feel good, happy, or successful, then competition only creates separation, judgment, attack, inner turmoil, and a belief in lack. When your happiness depends on the score, you're sending a message to the universe that you need to be better than someone else to feel good enough. That energy is never supported. I'm not saying to drop out of all competitive activities. Many people derive a lot of pleasure, joy, satisfaction, personal growth, and interpersonal bonding from competitive activities. What's important is your answer to this question. How does competing make you feel? If the fear of losing perpetually looms in the back of your mind, and you feel joy only when you win, and that joy fades as you gear up for the next competition, then competition is a block to your super attractor power. Wouldn't it be nice if you could achieve and succeed with grace and ease? When you redirect your competitive energy, you can have fun no matter the outcome. Block number 5, fearing rejection. I've witnessed many people deny their dreams due to fear of rejection. The idea of being rejected can be paralyzing. Many of us have come to see rejection as a form of humiliation or defeat. However, there is another way to view it. I've learned to see rejection as a form of protection. I trust that when something doesn't work out the way I planned, it's because there's something far greater in store for me. Here's an example from my professional life. I'd been presented with what seemed like a fantastic opportunity. I was really psyched as we contemplated an exciting plan. But the lawyers were taking a long time to negotiate every detail of the contract. New versions were constantly being drafted, but none of them seemed to incorporate our ideas or needs. 6 months of negotiations went by, and in many ways, I felt as if we were going backward. Frustrated by the situation, I decided to open up to seeing things differently. Instead of trying to make something that felt wrong work, I chose to see the situation as guidance from the universe. When I took a step back, it became obvious to me that the issue was not the nitty-gritty elements of the deal. There was a fundamental lack of understanding as to what each side wanted. All the resistance we'd received along the way wasn't rejection, it was guidance. We were being led not to do the deal. 2 years later, we look back on this offer and celebrate how it fell apart. I'm grateful for the lawyers getting in the way, and we know that the universe was just guiding us in the right direction. I encourage you to open up to the idea that rejection is protection. Choosing this perspective will help you dissolve your fear of rejection. If you choose to see rejection as guidance, then what is there to fear? If you get turned down by someone you asked on a date, it's because someone better is on the way. If your offer on a house falls through, it's because that house wasn't for you. If you make it to the final round of interviews for what you've decided is your dream job and someone else gets the position, guess what? It wasn't your dream job. Accepting rejection as guidance gives you another opportunity to follow the flow of the universe and strengthen your faith in a plan better than your own. Most importantly, you'll no longer fear rejection. Releasing that fear will give you the freedom to dream big, take fearless action, and let life lead you. Follow the guidance you receive, even when it feels like rejection. You'll be surprised. Rejection can be the greatest guidance of all. Block number 6. Having a need more mentality. Do you ever feel as though once you achieve a goal, you immediately have to move on to the next one? Not feeling complete in the moment of achievement, do you keep reaching toward the next goal? The need more mentality is another form of lack. It suggests that you may be looking for something outside yourself to feel complete, rather than trusting in your completeness now. The outside search for success, accomplishment, and approval is an addictive pattern that keeps us out of alignment with the universe. We block the support of the universe when our focus is on a future achievement. The ups and downs of needing more can be really depressing. You may get a high the moment you achieve something, but the buzz of the achievement is short-lived and quickly replaced by the fear of failing to reach your next goal. I lived with a need more mentality for decades. I'd achieve one goal, only to be immediately obsessed with the next. My husband worried that I never took time to celebrate my successes or be really present in the moment. I was achieving because I believed in myself, but I wasn't enjoying the journey. Let me pause here for a moment, because it's important to point this out. If you believe in your ability to achieve your desires, then they will come into form. Having faith in your ability is important, but it's far from the only important thing. If you're not having fun along the way, then what's the point? Ultimately, living with the need more mentality blocks you from reaching your full potential. Marianne Williamson often shares this message inspired by A Course in Miracles. The people who have achieved the most on earth have achieved a fraction of what all of us are capable of. Whatever you've done, either great or small, it is tiny compared to the potential that lies within you. We block our real achievements when we don't enjoy the journey. When I stopped living from achievement to achievement and started focusing on the fun along the way, my life got great. I started to feel more connected to my friends, my husband, and my work. I was more present and life began to flow. I've relaxed and let myself celebrate the miracle moments. When I dropped the need more mentality, I achieved so much more than I thought possible. When we enjoy the moment and let the universe flow through us, we are guided to create what God intended rather than what we think we need. Block number 7, the fear of being judged. Another big block to your super attractor power is the emphasis on what others think. I've seen this block reveal itself in many of my friends and students. My students have big dreams of sharing their spiritual work with the world. They see themselves writing books, speaking on stages, and spreading empowering lessons in their own unique ways. But a fear of being judged holds them back. They tell me that their family and friends don't believe in their career path or dreams. My response is, the only reason they don't believe in it is because you still don't. I help them see how their lack mentality and disbelief are being mirrored back to them by others. Our vibes attract our tribe. Embodying an energy of lack and self-judgment sends out a message to others that we don't feel good enough or worthy of what we desire. That energy can be felt miles away. The people in our lives, especially those who are closest to us, can be great spiritual teachers because they reflect back to us the energy we are putting out. Their judgment of us is a reflection of what we feel about ourselves, whether consciously or unconsciously. But when we return to faith and believe in our desires, then the world can believe in us too. And even if everyone doesn't fully co-sign your desires, your faith will be enough to tone down their judgment and shift their energy. Maybe they stop resisting your visions, or they curtail their judgment of you. When you release your resistance, you will feel released by others. Recognize that other people's judgments reveal the places where you lack faith. Every experience and encounter offers you guidance toward healing the lingering resistance that holds you back from being a super attractor. So rather than blaming others for resisting your dreams, thank them for showing you an opportunity for great growth and healing. Lack, doubt, comparison, and insecurity stand in the way of attracting our desires, but there is a way through each of these blocks. Now that you have a greater understanding of each block, I'm going to break down the methods for change. This is the fun part, and I'm excited to share these methods with you. I've witnessed countless people experience radical shifts by following them. Try these methods, and you'll see for yourself how quickly you can move from an energy of lack to an energy of faith. There's no reason for you to play small anymore. The universe has big plans for you, and it's time to claim them. The Universal Abundance Method. Protect your desires to stay in alignment. It's important to avoid comparing your desires or emotions with others. Attracting what you desire is about alignment with the universe and assuming the energy of how you want to feel. Put your feelings above all else and respect your feelings by keeping them close while you're in the process of strengthening your faith. One way you must protect your desires is by creating clear, loving boundaries with anyone who resists them. It's not uncommon to find that people in your life have a preconceived notion of who they think you should be, or perhaps who you used to be. These projections from others can take you out of alignment with the universe. When you find your desires challenged by others, respond by creating compassionate boundaries. Those around you don't even need to know that you're creating these boundaries if you do it with love. For instance, if you're prompted to talk about a desire before it's ready to be shared, you can kindly say, I'm currently developing some new ideas and projects. They mean a lot to me, so I'm not going to share about them until they're fully developed. Or you can request that certain topics be left alone completely. For instance, when I was trying to conceive, I had to lovingly ask my mother not to interfere. I kindly told her that her actions were inadvertently triggering a feeling of disappointment. I asked her instead that we talk about other topics. Because I created this boundary with love, she was able to hear me and respect my desires, and I was able to protect my dream and stay connected to feeling good. In instances, it's impactful to create loving boundaries. In those situations, you can consciously disengage from people who bring you down energetically. For example, if you're healing a condition, don't go online and read through message boards filled with other people's stories about that illness. If you're trying to attract more money, limit your time with those friends who constantly talk about their financial problems. If you want to manifest a new partner, don't engage with people who are always complaining about their relationship dramas. If you're ready to step into a new passion project, don't share it with someone who you know to be pessimistic. I've made it my priority to choose friends, team members, and partners who believe in my visions. I have no space in my life for anyone who stifles my flow. Protect your dreams no matter what. Another way to protect your feelings and emotions is to keep your visions to yourself before they're fully developed. Let's say you're ready to make a career change, or you're open to dating again following a breakup. While you hopefully feel empowered and excited by these desires, they may still be backed with an energy of lack or bring up fearful past experiences. That voice of fear may be louder than the loving voice of your inner guidance system. That's why I suggest you nurture your desires by keeping them to yourself until you feel faithful and aligned. If you share your desires from a place of misalignment, they'll be met with resistance. Remember, the universe is picking up the energy you put out. So when you share your desires with an energy of fear, people will respond to you with more fear. Sharing your desires from a place of fear or uncertainty will weaken your attracting power. Instead, keep your desires close while you're still strengthening your faith. How will you know when you're ready to share your visions with the world? You will develop a strong sense of connection and certainty around your desires, and that's when you'll know it's time to share. And when you present your ideas with conviction and belief, the people around you will support your ideas, even those who didn't or wouldn't in the past. The universe will always reflect back to you the energy you vibrate outward. Abraham Hicks say, "This is a universe of diversity, and diversity means plenty to go around, and source energy will answer everyone. And it's only in your shortage consciousness where you believe that there is a finite amount of resources that you're squabbling over. The resources that you're reaching for are infinite, and your ability to achieve a desire for something means that the universe has the ability to deliver it to you with no exceptions." There are no exceptions. Maintain alignment with love, and you will receive. Focus on giving rather than getting. I have an amazing student named Stephanie. Stephanie went through my masterclass and was ready to hit the ground running. For her first event, she wanted to host a workshop at her local library based on a training I developed. Stephanie diligently created a syllabus and course lessons. In order to get the word out, she made flyers, sent emails, and talked up the workshop on Facebook. The day of the workshop, she showed up to the library ready to rock. And instead of the big group of people she'd imagined, there was just one woman in the room. Stephanie felt let down and embarrassed, but with one person there, she couldn't just leave. Walking up to her, Stephanie said, "Hi, are you here for my workshop?" The woman said, "No, what workshop?" Fighting back tears, Stephanie said, "It's a 6-part workshop based on a book called Make Cause Miracles by my teacher, Gabby Bernstein. I've been preparing an awesome workshop and nobody showed up, but I'd really like to share it with someone." The woman said, "I could actually use a miracle. Let's do it." At that moment, Stephanie was forced to let go of the need to teach to a big group that day and instead focus on her true desire, which is to serve, by teaching the one woman in the room. And here is the important point. The moment Stephanie made it about service rather than about her ego, everything fell into place. She shifted from a get mentality to a give mentality and delivered an amazing workshop. It was a miracle moment in her life. Stephanie could have taken an understandable but less healthy approach to this situation, but she found the courage to focus on the content rather than the frame of her experience. In that moment, she cared only about sharing the gift of her teaching. Later that day, Stephanie called to share her story with me. She was so excited to tell me about living her purpose and being in the light and joy of service that the size of the audience was an afterthought in her retelling. That day, Stephanie shifted her energy in a major way by embracing the feeling of confidence and pride. This energy has continued to propel her.